Yeah, dog.
Does somebody want to do the hello for me? You can do the phone. Alex, do you do the hello, and then I'll jump in with the rest.
Okay.
Ready? Okay, whenever you're ready.
Hello.
Wait, so it's supposed to be higher pitched.
Hello.
And welcome to the Cultcast, the weirdest 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Nerfin Elijah. That was great, Alex. Good job.
Thanks.
It was kind of a mixture between your own style and my style.
Yeah, I try.
Way to do it on the fly there. I'm your host, Nerfin Elijah. Joining me today, Buster Sexy Beard, Heine Buster.
I shaved it off.
I'm sorry, Buster. We're going to have to hang up on you.
Sorry.
It's going to be me and Alex. Don't probe me, bro. Heath. You can stay, Buster.
Do probe me.
Actually, yeah, it should be switched, huh? Alex, please probe me, bro. Heath. Buster.
Yes, sir.
You shaved it off, huh?
Yeah, I'm getting married, so I had...
Whoa, Buster, we agreed we weren't going to talk about this on the show.
I'm sorry, guys. I shouldn't have spilled too much personal details, but yeah.
way to kick up the show a notch right
you
from
know
the start.
I don't like talking about our engagement on
the show.
Well, it is legal in your state now, isn't it?
It's legal in Arizona, so me and Alex.
I thought you and I had some future plans that we had been discussing.
Yeah, well, you already got a lady and a chihuahua, so...
It's a chihuahua toy terrier. And I thought we were going to share her. You told me you liked small dogs. I had her groomed the way you liked.
Yeah.
This is an immense betrayal. So, wait. Are you actually sharing real information here, or...?
Yeah, that's true. So...
Oh!
I waited until... Yeah. So, we got pictures taken, and I felt like... I should probably shave for him. I don't know.
Yeah, I saw that picture that you posted on Instagram.
Yeah.
And it kind of looked like maybe you had gotten engaged, but you didn't say anything about that in the picture. And I didn't see a ring or anything, so I thought maybe you were just, you know, hey, here's my girlfriend.
Oh, no. I mean,
Buster.
It's not like a secret or anything, but sorry, I've never mentioned
it. Drop it like it's hot. Yeah. When did this happen?
Before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Hey,
so
when he told me that in Vegas, that's what I said too. I was like, what?
Oh, it's like, we just gonna keep secrets from each other. Buster, we promised never to keep secrets from each other.
Wow, it wasn't like a big deal.
Yeah. So. I just got engaged. It's not a big deal. Hey, when are you actually getting married? Maybe if you don't want to share the date, you don't have to, but have you picked a date?
Yeah, middle of March.
Oh, so coming up quick.
Yeah, dude, I mean, we've been engaged for we've been dating forever, so.
Oh, we've been engaged for a year, I just, you know.
Yeah, I just don't tell anybody.
Well, everyone's hearing this, all of our listeners are hearing this at the same time as me, so from me and all of our listeners, all 100 of them, congratulations.
Oh, thanks, man.
It's fantastic.
You're like a new man, because it was weird, because I was with you, I feel like I was with you like the day before, maybe not, but at least 2 days before you got the picture taken, and your beard was off in the picture.
I know.
Your beard was off, like he just like detached it.
Yeah,
set it aside.
Seriously though, because he had this.
And I
huge
regret it though.
Beard.
Yeah,
I bet you do. I mean,
you had a glorious mane of beard hair.
Yeah, and I feel like my face just looks like a blob without it.
So. A blob. I have a friend that usually wears like this really finely tuned man beard.
Yeah.
And he keeps it high and tight. You know, he keeps it perfectly shaped and everything. And whenever he shaves it off, he just looks like he's 12.
Yeah,
is that what you feel like?
Yeah, all my friends hate it. They tell me I'm stupid for shaving it, but
Well, you should definitely grow back.
Oh, it will be. It'll be back in like 3 weeks. It doesn't take long.
Well, speaking of shaving, dude, look at that segue. Wow. Boom! I want to thank our sponsor, Harry's, for supporting this episode. Does anyone have a good Hermione? Alex?
No.
Granger.
Emma Watson.
That's a tough one. I didn't give you a lot of time to prepare for that. Harry's does shaving right. And I know since we have like a 99% male audience, that this is definitely apropos for the people that listen to this show. So are you still buying your razor blades from the drugstore? Harry's had this idea. They were like, we could build these razors and they'll be really super high quality, But if we cut out the middleman, the people that are selling them, and just sell directly to the people, we can bring the price way down. And that's exactly what they've done. So it was this company was created by these two guys who bought a German razor blade factory that had been there for like 100 years. So they could produce the razors themselves. And actually, one of the guys was one of the founders of Warby Parker. Alex, do you wear Warby Parker glasses?
These
no, I was going to get Warby Parker, but my insurance covered it another
said,
way.
They said no, so, because they're too hipster.
Yeah, no, I had insurance, better insurance with someone else, but I've got glasses that look exactly like Warby Parker glasses.
So gross. I digress. So one of the guys that started Warby Parker started Harry's. And so they bought this factory, and they create these really high-quality shaving supplies. They sent me a box to try out. And first of all, first impression, just getting the box in the mail, it was the attention to detail they put on the packaging is just super, duper high-end. Everything is really beautiful, really well-packaged. I mean, top-notch all the way. And the shaving handle I got was aluminum, really simple, understated, but very well-designed. The razors are ultra-sharp. And what's that? What was that, Alex?
Aluminium, you mean.
Aluminium. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for correcting me there. And I was really, really impressed. And I kind of wanted to get a second opinion. So I gave all this stuff to a friend of mine, too, to try it out. And he said, same thing, patching incredible. He tried out the shaving cream that they sent me. And he said it was really, really great. And he actually kept it. He didn't give back to me. So if you are paying retail price for razor blades, you need to check out Harry's, HARRYS.com, because their razor blades are super duper high quality, and they're way less expensive than the razor blades that you buy from the drugstores virtually anywhere else. I mean, even the ones I was getting on Amazon, they're probably 70% of the price of those. So they even beat Amazon's prices. Plus, everything is shipped straight to your door. You can have like these auto ships set up so that you can have razor blades shipped to you, you know, every so often, as many as you need. Plus, they have different packages that include, you know, shaving cream or aftershave. You can kind of fine tune like the kind of package you want to get, and then they ship them to your door, free shipping. And if you use code CULTCAST at checkout, you will save $5 off your first order. And they have a starter kit that's $15, so you can get started for $10 with free shipping. Which, you know, let's be honest, they're probably just giving you the product for free at that point, because they're going to spend $10 just to ship it to you. So they want you to try it out, and that's harrys.com, HARRYS.com. I want to thank Harry's for supporting this episode. You guys know I like to shave. And there are times during the year where no hair on my body is safe.
Yeah, I was going to say you shave your whole body.
Yeah, well, except for my eyebrows and my the top of my head. Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, I like that aerodynamic look in the summertime.
Yeah, it's a good look.
It's a good look for me. And what people don't know about Buster is from the neck up, it's all beautiful hair. But from the neck down, super aerodynamic. Let's just put it that way.
I got it lasered.
you're a lasering guy? That's how you keep your bikini line so high and tight.
Painful, but it's worth it.
Thanks to Harry's for supporting this episode. Welcome back from Vegas, guys.
Thank you. Oh,
thanks, man.
How are you recovering nicely? Was it taxing on the liver, on the kidneys?
Yeah, it took me a good 2 days. I mean, Saturday when I got back, I pretty much just laid in bed all day.
I bet. I mean,
I chilled all weekend too. But I haven't gotten sick or anything. I've seen a lot of like tech journalists complaining on Twitter about getting the CES plague, which is just like all the germs.
Yeah,
you walk 10 miles a day and you're touching all these sweaty PR people's hands and all that stuff. So people get sick a lot, but I haven't gotten sick yet. So
that's what it is about CES, at least for journalists. If you're there, it's just like you said, Alex, it's a bunch of out of shape dudes all of a sudden getting thrown into an environment where they're walking 20 miles a day and then going to parties at night, and all the alcohol everywhere is totally free. So it's kind of easy to overdo it. Did you guys go to any notable parties?
You know what was kind of crazy? When WD, the hard drive company, had like...
Yeah, that was crazy.
Wait, was that the one where you got serenaded by Tenacious D? Down where the sassy watch hide, in the misty mountainside, he's got shiny diamonds that he's got to protect.
No, that was, Stone Party, which that was probably the best party.
What? So you had a, did you have a picture of it? I think you did, didn't you?
Yeah, it's on Instagram.
Yeah,
so one of my favorite bands, Tenacious D, Jack Black, Kyle Gass. Go see Tenacious D in the Pick of Destiny if you haven't watched it. Played at, what party was it, Buster?
It was a Rolling Stone and Marshall party.
Oh.
The people that make the amps.
Yeah. And so you guys got into that and you were front row and you said that Jack Black sung to you?
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
That's awesome.
I got a selfie with him.
So he actually sang to you at this concert?
Oh, for like, I mean like 3 seconds. He like pointed at me. I can't even remember what song it was, but there was a moment where we connected.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah, cool. I'm sure he felt it too.
I know.
Yeah, after the show
was over.
Yeah, he was so funny. And then after the show was over, he like stood on stage and like was taking like pictures with people and like shaking hands. And I came up to him and he just put his hand on my head and just rested it there. It was really weird. I felt like I was being anointed. And
did
I think
you get to go back to his hotel room with him and Kyle Gass afterwards? And
I wish. Spoon? I just quoted something from Tropic Thunder to him and took a selfie.
I bet he loved that.
Yeah,
he's
sure.
Like, yeah, opium.
You asked him if he gurgled the gravy tonight.
I'll swallow the gravy.
Get on over here. Let's do this. We're going to talk about CES later in the show, and we're actually going to try and phone in one Mr. L. Caney, who, in true L. Caney fashion, we were talking before the show and asking him if he was going to be here, and he's like, oh, I can't. I'm actually driving to Oregon. So he's in the car with his kids and his wife driving to Oregon, and he freaked out via Skype not long ago. Did you guys see that message? He's like, I can't do this. It's too loud.
Yeah.
And I don't have good reception. And then moments later, he messaged us back and he was like, yeah, I'm ready. Let's try to do this. So we're going to try and phone him. I don't know if it's going to work. We'll give it a shot, though, when we're ready to talk about CES. But the big news this week, President Obama is backing the internet in a big way again.
Hey, everybody. We're in the Oval Office here and been doing some work on State of the Union. I'm going to be giving the State of the Union next week, but as you may know, I've been going around the country starting to preview some of the things that I think are really going to be important for us to make sure that we are growing this economy and that it works for everybody. And one of the things that I'm going to make an early announcement about this week is the issue of getting faster broadband.
I'm so excited about this. My heart was pounding when I read this. This is truly exciting. If you live in the U.S., President Obama came out and said on whitehouse.gov in a video that he did that there needs to be more internet competition, and he is speaking in a city called Cedar Falls, Iowa, I think today, about their municipal gigabit internet program, which one of the ideas out there on how to increase competition in this country is just to have cities take the internet over and build out their own networks. But the problem is a lot of cities can't do this because they're in one of the 19 states that actually have laws banning them from creating their own internet. And guess who that benefits? ISPs like Comcast, Time Warner. And a lot of those laws were put into effect by those exact same companies, or their lobbyists helped to initiate those laws. So he's going to be speaking about internet competition and the need for it in the United States in the State of the Union address on January 20th. He's going to be calling for these laws to be overturned. It's exciting. Can you guys imagine having gigabit Ethernet where you live for $80 a month? That's 1,000 megabits down and 1,000 megabits up.
I mean, crazy. That'd be pretty cool. Yeah.
Crickets. I want to enter some cricket sound effects here. How can you guys not be passionate about this? I guess I just don't get it. I think that fast internet is like the wave of the future. We all need to have it, and we need to have it now. Alex?
I mean, yeah, I agree. I agree.
I can tell. I'm winning you over.
Faster internet speeds, they just don't get me hyped on life, to be honest with you. I mean, they're great, and I want them, but yeah. I just don't get super jazzy.
Not like me.
Not like Airfon.
Yeah.
Not saying it's not important. It is. It totally is.
It's very important. And now it's important to President Obama. So that's why I was excited, because we need a champion. And I think that him backing it and him coming out and saying that we need these crazy, these batshit crazy laws overturned is exactly what the FCC needs to hear in order to actually be empowered to turn over these stupid laws that, you know, ban these cities from creating their own internet networks. Anyway, I said I wouldn't drone on too much about that. We'll save that for another show. Buster, do you want to talk about an embarrassing BlackBerry tweet that went out this week?
Well, it was yesterday, and BlackBerry, whoever is using a BlackBerry or tweeting for BlackBerry tweets from an iPhone because they got caught, kind of like Alicia Keys did, you know?
Kind of like Oprah did. Ago.
Yeah, like all kinds of celebrities do with Samsung products. I just love that this happens all the time.
This keeps happening.
You know, just yes. Use SpeedDeck, you know?
I guess there are only certain Twitter applications that actually show where the tweet right. originated from, right? I think
yeah,
mine
it's
does.
Like TweetBot and TweetDeck and what do you use?
I think I use TweetBot. I use TweetBot, but I'm not sure if TweetBot actually shows it. Does it?
Yeah, it does.
No. It doesn't show it in the main feed. But that's the hilarious thing is that this keeps happening over and over and over again. And you would think that people would learn when you post something on Twitter, people can tell how you posted it.
And then, you know, they delete it like right after somebody spots it. I would just try and play it off, I think, once somebody catches me.
I'd just be like, psych. We did that on purpose. That was deliberate.
Oh, I got hacked.
Well, isn't that what Alicia Keys said when that happened to her?
Yeah.
Is that she got hacked.
Mm-hmm.
That's the worst thing that you could say. Because right? everyone knows that's just not true.
Yeah, it's like a tweet. It's a tweet like promoting her album. And she's like, I got hacked.
Right. And like the tweet was totally appropriate, except for the part where someone discovered that it was, you know, sent out from an iPhone about BlackBerry. It's like, dude, if a hacker had hacked you, it would have been something way more offensive.
Yeah.
Than just a normal tweet about your album. Come on. Alex, do you want to take this next story?
Sure.
Dude, just ad just go with it. Just ad lib. And I'll jump in, you know, as needed. So last November, we heard that we might be getting some iPhone 6 camera improvements from John Gruber. Mm-hmm. Continue, sorry.
Mm-hmm. No, you're okay. Well, yeah, Gruber said that this could be the biggest camera upgrade ever. Mm-hmm. And now some reports out of Asia are saying that the 6S or whatever it's going to call it is going to have some fancy dual lens camera system that I guess would allow for optical zooming instead of digital, finally. Mm-hmm. So I guess a lens that finally actually moves, which I don't know how that would work with how thin they're making the phones these days. But I know they had... Yeah, and well, they do have patents on like all clip style lenses, so I could see it being something like that. And something about a 3D pressure sensor, which I'm not really sure what that would be. Buster, do you have a better idea?
Yeah, so like, you know, on the Apple Watch, it can detect like a short press and a long press, you know? I'm guessing
it's like force like touch, that. Like the Apple Watch.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly like the Apple Watch, yeah.
Yeah. But so which like I mean with the Apple Watch, there's like 19 different ways to interact with the screen because of all the different pressure sensitivities.
Taylor T-Stop 52 on Twitter asks, do you think there's anything to this rumor? Do you think we'll see this kind of thing land on the 6S?
Oh, I hope so. Well, I hope not because I don't want to buy another phone this year.
So you'd buy if it had that. And that was pretty much the only major upgrade. Would you actually buy one?
Yeah, because my iPhone's my main camera. I mean, it's my only camera. So, like, it seems, I don't know, it seems worth it every year to buy it just for a little camera bump. And if it's, like, a huge camera bump, then it's definitely worth it.
So I think this rumor is really interesting. A, I think we are going to see this in the 6S. Because, you know, the S series of the iPhones always have the camera as kind of their marquee feature, right? There's some huge camera upgrade. And so this is going to need to be something major. They can't just say, oh, well, we're going to let the aperture be larger to let more light in to hit the sensor. No, it has to be something really big. This is big. If you could do optical zooming with your iPhone, I have wanted a feature like this as long as I've had an iPhone. Because how often are you maybe just too far away from something and you have to zoom in digitally? You guys know? it like doesn't it, like you can zoom, but zooming in digitally is essentially like cropping an image. All you're doing is losing bad. Pixels on the outside.
I had to do that at the Justin Timberlake concert in Vegas, and it was rough.
JT, you couldn't get a sharp shot of him?
No, I was in the nosebleeds, and I was trying to zoom in because he had this fancy stage that moved back to the back of the crowd, and so he got pretty close at one point, but I was trying to zoom in, you know, to get his handsome, manly features, like up close and personal. But it just kept getting more pixelated, and I was just like, this is not pro-worthy.
All you wanted to see was his D in a box.
Yeah, man.
But all you got was a bunch of boxy pixels.
Oh, yeah. pixely sexy back.
Yeah, exactly. I was taking a picture the other day with my iPhone, and I zoomed in digitally, and I was like, this looks like crap. You can't use this. So if you had an optical zoom which could maintain the actual image fidelity as it was zooming in, that would be incredible. And about force touch, so there are a bunch of electrodes in the Apple Watch, this is something they talked about in the actual promotional video, that can determine whether or not you're tapping on the Apple Watch. I'm trying my hardest not to say iWatch here, by the way. Whether you're tapping on the Apple Watch or whether you're actually pressing it. And Johnny Ive said in that video, force touch quite literally adds a new dimension to the user interface. So if they've built this whole new dimension of user interface, I guarantee you, if not on the 6S, which actually, you know, seems to make sense to me, then on a future iPhone, they're gonna be bringing this feature to the iPhone eventually. So maybe you could use it to like press and hold and zoom in and out on the camera app or something to do the optical zoom. I don't know exactly how they'll end up using it, but there could be an entire different touch language that's built into the next version of the iPhone.
Which is cool if you think about it, because it feels like the iPhone has kind of not been perfected, but it's like it needs some kind of breakthrough for it to be cool again, like in a like fancy gadgety way of not just, oh, this is really fast and thin and takes good pictures, like something really not futuristic, but you know what I mean? Like a new, I guess, new way of interacting, something that kind of changes the dynamics.
I think just having the screen be huge was a major, major thing for them. But I mean, where can they go from here? That was the one thing that everyone really wanted from the iPhone is it has to have a bigger screen. And that has one. So they're going to need to figure out some other way to really spice it up.
Yeah, new UIs for the bigger screen and stuff. There's not enough apps that take advantage of horizontal mode, in my opinion.
No, there's not. In fact, do you guys even use the horizontal orientation on the apps that do take advantage of it? Like, let's take iMessage, for example.
Not iMessage, but I do for mail. It's super convenient for the mail app because it lets you, you know, view all of your messages and delete them while also, like, check previewing one. So I like that. But yeah, messages. I hate the horizontal keyboard, actually.
Mm-hmm.
There's just like a bunch of extra keys that I don't need.
Yeah, I don't use the horizontal keyboard ever because I feel like now in vertical orientation, the phone is so big now that I can actually hit all the buttons without having to go into that other mode.
Uh-huh. And I type super quick now when it's in portrait mode keyboard, too. I feel like much quicker than on the 5S.
I do, too, except I'd say 30% of the words are autocorrected and they make no sense at all. I'm like, Buster, do you want to hang out with my hemorrhoids?
Yes,
LOL.
Please.
What? No, not really. Don't mind my dog, by the way. There's some guys walking around my house and she's not happy about that. Can you guys hear her?
The dog's never happy.
She, you know what? She's very happy when I'm sitting on the couch petting her, Alex. Then she's
well, I am too.
that's very true, especially if there's Luther Vandross playing in the background. Okay, so we talk about CES.
Yeah.
Leander says he wants me to call him.
I'll try it.
We'll give this a try.
Give it a 5-minute.
He texted me and he said, reception is bad, kids are screaming, can't find headphones, too hard to talk and drive. And then literally a minute later, he said, never mind. I yelled at the kids. Let's try it out. I'm ready. So let's try this out. We're going to give Mr. Kane a call, and then we'll talk about your guys' CES experience. I wonder if I should try to call him on his phone or on Skype.
I'd try the phone.
You think so? Okay.
Probably.
You have reached the voicemail box of
Leona.
What?
Was that Leander?
Was that? Who was that?
Leona.
Leona? Whose number do I have in here? Let's try this other one. I have no idea who this is.
Dude, what if Leona would have been on the cult cast?
That sounds like someone we would want to have on the cult cast. Yeah. It's probably Leander's drag queen name.
Hello?
There he is.
Oh, there we go.
Are you cruising down I-5 in a car full of people?
Yeah. And there's speed traps everywhere because we just came out of the town of Weed.
Oh, I know exactly where you are.
Right, Mount Shasta.
You're getting close.
Yep. Well, close to what?
Close to Portland.
Oregon. Well, it's only 400 miles or something, yeah.
When did you guys leave this morning, Leander?
Well, we were supposed to leave about 5, and then it was going to be like 7, and then it was finally about 10. Took a while to get everyone ready.
So are you guys going to be on vacation for a while there?
Just a couple of days. We're coming back Monday.
Oh, my gosh. You just got back from Vegas, and now you're driving to Portland?
Yeah.
You're a machine.
I know. It's the life of the rich and famous.
Yeah, driving a car packed with kids. All right. Well, Leander, we brought you in for the CES 2015 conversation.
Okay, no. Well, Tracy was also going to contribute, too.
Yeah, she's going to tell us all the things that she hated about CES. <You're right>. So I was just asking the fellows about their CES experience. What did you think about CES this year?
I thought it was great. I actually really enjoyed it.
On a scale of 1 to 200, how many ales did you drink in a period of 7 days?
I didn't drink any. I drank one, actually. One,
no.
And Jim gave that to me.
You only had one drink the entire time?
Well, I had one ale.
Oh, one ale.
I stopped sticking to cocktails, though.
Right. I switched to cocktails.
It's all semantics. Right. Okay, yeah. I should have changed my question appropriately.
Yeah.
How many of those blue...
It wasn't that many. I don't know. You know, couple and...
hour?
An evening.
couple every 15 minutes for the entire trip.
I really didn't go crazy. I was moderating myself this year.
Uh-huh. Okay, so let's talk about CES and the gadgets that you guys saw. So you guys just got back, and I was curious to hear maybe the coolest... Well, let me ask you this. The coolest or most useful gadget that you saw, if you guys could each contribute one. Buster, why don't we start with you?
Sling TV.
Okay, what was cool about that?
I don't pay for cable anymore. And so I don't get ESPN, can't watch sports and stuff like that. So it lets you pay like $20 a month to get access to ESPN and a bunch of other like awesome channels.
Oh yeah, they're starting their own kind of over the top streaming network, right?
Yeah. And it's like there's no contract, so you can leave whenever.
By the way, I hear Leander whispering to his wife, what was the coolest gadget that we saw? Listen to him.
All he remembers is that cocktail I drank. The lemon drop.
A more appropriate question would have been the coolest drinks that you had at CES.
Right. No. I've got it now. No, luckily Tracy reminded me.
Okay, Leander, what was yours before you forget?
It's the plastic card. It's an electronic, a connected electronic debit card.
Uh huh.
So it's kind of like Apple Pay if you don't have an iPhone 6. So it looks like a credit card and it has Bluetooth and NFC chips, and you load it up with your debit and your credit cards, but also your gift cards, and then you can swipe through, and it's got an e-ink interface, and then you choose the one you want, and then you swipe that through the card reader. So, for me, it's perfect. In fact, it's a perfect complement to the iPhone 6 if you're trying to use Apple Pay, because you can't use it everywhere.
You can use it hardly anywhere.
Well, yeah, right. Okay.
At least, yeah.
Probably a better way to put it. Yeah, right. Instead of hardly anywhere. So if you've got this, though, you can load up 20 cards on it, including like your security cards. So you carry that. You just carry just one card instead of 20 cards. And you carry that with your iPhone. And then for all those places where... your Apple Pay won't work, you can use, one of your regular debit cards instead.
I really like this. When you first said it, I was kind of thinking to myself, well, isn't, Apple Pay going to totally kill this kind of technology? Because I've heard of other cards that do this. Like, there's one called Coin.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
But yeah. This is actually a great stopgap technology, because if you think about it, it could be 3-4 years before Apple Pay has any kind of ubiquity.
Or even longer. Plus, this one does like the security card. So at the moment, I've still got to carry at least 4 cards now, including, and I'm trying, you know, at one point I was trying to go all Apple Pay,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, you quickly discovered that, like you said, you know, you can hardly use it anywhere.
Unless you buy all your groceries at Walgreens, right, it doesn't work so well.
Yeah. Right, precisely. So you guys still got to carry the cards, but this kind of would be great, because then it would be just this, the plastic card, and your ID, you know, your California driver license, and your iPhone. So it brings it down to 2 cards and an iPhone.
How much does this thing cost, Lander?
I think it was 200.
Woo!
200. How much? Well, I'm sorry, 155.
Man, we got it. Maybe we should have Tracy on more often.
Right. Well, she could talk about it. She interviewed these guys, and she was really impressed with them. And has a whole bunch of things that, you know, like coin, to get all their electronics into a card-size format, there's no replaceable battery, and it's not rechargeable. So you have to throw away the card when the battery is done.
What?
I know.
I did not know that. That's
a new card.
Yeah, and those things are what, $120, $130?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm sure if you're a customer, I would bet you get a deal. And I don't know how long the battery lasts, but mm-hmm. yeah. And I was like, when I heard that, I was like, what? Are you really?
Yeah.
Okay, so this one has a rechargeable card, and they say it lasts about a month.
Wow.
And it has a really cool interface. Like, the interface, at least in videos, you know, they weren't showing a prototype there at the show. So that's one big caveat. They still don't have, you know, prototypes that they were showing the public. And mm-hmm. it's supposed to launch this summer. So, but in the videos, it looked really cool.
So it's not actually available yet.
It's total paperware.
It's paperware. They're going to start their Indiegogo next month.
Right. No, they launched a crowdfunding campaign. They raised, I think, quite a lot of money, like $5 million or something like that.
Wow.
And they seem to have done everything right. They've got, you know, they actually have a track record, and you know, they say they're on track. And in fact, they were there at the invitation of Brookstone. Who brought three? They have this new sort of entrepreneurs, Kickstarter type startups that they're showcasing that they're going to be bringing to the stores.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the three that they brought there. So I think Brookstone has pretty high confidence in them.
Hmm. They'll position them prominently next to the back massagers,
right? Exactly.
And the self drying socks.
Right.
Okay, Buster, what was yours again?
Oh, I forgot it already.
I did too. It was so memorable.
No, it was Sling TV.
Sling TV. All right. And this was actually a big, I hate to digress here, but that was actually a big story, because this is like one of the first networks that is doing a pay to play type deal where you can just pay for the channels that you want and not have to have a cable subscription. This is like that big thing that everyone's been waiting for. So it was a really big deal.
Now, the big thing about Sling TV is that it includes ESPN. It's the first time ESPN has ever been unbundled. But you can't buy stations a la carte like the Dream, you know, where you're just I just want AMC.
In the future, that's what they're going to have, is you'll have like a movie package and a sports package and
that's
stuff
cool.
like that with it.
Yeah, and included the Disney Channel for Leander's kids.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, they're all teenagers now. That doesn't sound too much from what I'm paying already, but, you know, Comcast.
Yeah, well, that was actually one of the big criticisms, is this actually doesn't really sound like it's going to be any less expensive than what you're already paying.
$20.
$20?
I don't know. I was paying like $80 a month for cable. So.
Well, I have basic cable, so I get a lot of those, like, you know, basic channels, but I pay $10 for that. So, yeah, $20 is actually, for ESPN, I'm not a sports guy, but if you were a sports person and that included that and then some like other like somewhat popular channels, that seems like it would be a good deal.
Oh, it is, yeah.
Okay. Alex, what do you got?
It's actually not anything you can get, but I played with the Oculus VR headset.
Oh.
And they don't have anything for consumer market yet, but that thing is incredible. I just had like a brief like 5-minute demo, and they put me through a bunch of different environments and where you can just, you know, look around 360 degrees and kind of interact and like move around things. Like at one point I was getting shot at and I could dodge the bullets, you know, Matrix style, and I'm watching them go past my face and I feel like I could reach out and grab them.
Wait, was this on Monday that you used this thing?
No, it was the last day of the show.
Because you said you yapped on Monday, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And one of the things I've heard is, and I've actually used an Oculus Rift, I think they're incredible, but they make some people sick.
No, yeah, it didn't make me sick, but I do. One of the simulations was standing at the top of a skyscraper, like Batman,
uh-huh.
and looking down, and that was freaky. I really felt like I was going to fall.
Oculus Rift is incredible, isn't it?
It's incredible.
That whole VR experience just keeps getting better and better, too.
After using it, there's no doubt in my mind that that's like where entertainment's going to go. Probably video games first, and then like they had a simulation with the new Reese Witherspoon movie, Wild, where she's like sitting on a rock talking to her mother's ghost or whatever, and you're sitting on a rock watching her, but you can turn around and face the other way. Like, you don't have to look at her, and you can like walk around, and I mean, it's just weird. Like, it's gonna change the way movies are made. It's gonna change the way video games are made. I'm excited about it. I can see why Facebook bought them.
Adult movies.
That's something I think Jim was telling us about, some crazy product that interfaces with Oculus Rift or something.
Was he an expert in that topic?
He was. Well, because I
he's
think
like,
Jim,
remember that lady in red from The Matrix? He's like, oh yeah, we're on our way there.
I made her.
I made her myself. But I used a non-HD version of the Oculus Rift, and I got to explore this video game terrain at PAX this last year, and it was incredible. It was so immersive. You're walking through this world, and you feel like you're actually in the world walking around, because when you look up, it looks up. When you look to the left, it looks to the left. And if you had that experience in HD, which is the kind of devices that Oculus is building now, all their devices are HD. Oh, did we just lose Leander Caney?
I think so.
All right, that's cool. I'm just going to keep going. Maybe we'll get him back. If you get that kind of experience in HD, I would imagine that was probably what you got, Alex. It's probably way, way, way more immersive.
Oh, yeah,
did they actually
sure.
say anything about when these things would be available, though?
Because No, but it did, yeah. I mean, I haven't used the older ones, but from what I've read, this one is, like, it's way more high res. And, I mean, it wasn't, like, 1080p. Like, you'd tell it was, you know, still very much like a prototype, but yeah. I mean, it was really slick. Like, there was a dinosaur coming at me at one point, and I was like ducking.
Do you scream like a girl and run?
Yeah, man.
And like, well, your head got like, cocked back from the wires.
Yeah. Well, it was crazy. Like, there is, so I'm like, there's one simulation where you're like slow mo, there's all these soldiers slow mo running around you, shooting at this giant robot, and I could literally walk around the soldier and like, and watch him fire and like go under his bullets and stuff. I mean, it's crazy.
Wow. Well,
yeah.
Like, the other crazy thing was how many Oculus Rift headset knockoffs there were at CES.
Yeah. It's blowing up.
So many booths, and like, some of them are so bad. Like, there was one, it looked like you have like an alien headset, like, I don't know, a space pod on your face.
Yeah.
Oh, did we just get back, LeCain?
Yeah,
we got him. Wow. I thought that was it, Leander. I was like, that's it. We got our 10 seconds of Caney. That's all we're going to get.
Yeah, no, I'm back.
He's back, baby. So. All right.
Should we talk about, like, Apple or the lack of Apple at CES?
Please, yeah.
Well, I didn't really see anything awesome like that was really Apple related. Did you guys?
Well, there was a ton of. I mean, I thought it was kind of like, I think we're on the cusp of something really big, you know, like, because you can see that the whole, you know, they've been talking about the Internet of Things for years, and they're starting to add, you know, the sensors now. I mean, all the wearable stuff, all of the HomeKit stuff, all, you know, all the sensors that are going into, you know, refrigerators and washing machines and toasters, kettles. I mean, everything you can think of has a connection. And I actually, you know, like, I think a lot of it, you sort of roll your eyes and think, oh, this is stupid. But, I mean, I talked to this one company that does an internet-connected kettle, electronic kettle.
This sounds like it's right up your alley.
I know. It's totally British, right? It's totally, totally British, this thing. But I was like, oh, yeah, you know, like, what do you want a connection to kettle for? It's totally ridiculous. And he said, well, it detects, if you're watching television, you know, when the ads are going to come on, and it starts boiling the kettle, so that the kettle's boiled when the ads are on. And I was like, oh, my God, that's totally crazy. That's,
you need to be knighted.
I know, because I really want one. Because, like, in England, right, everybody, when if you have an evening in, every time there's a commercial break, you rush up, you jump up to make a cup of tea. This is like, you know, how I spent my entire life in England, right? Every evening. And
so this guy just solved a major problem for an entire country.
Right, exactly. And it absolutely resonated with me. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. I totally want that. And so, you know, I think, like, some of them are trivial now. But, you know, we're starting to see the whole, you know, like, cars, self-driving cars, wearables, sensors everywhere, you know. And they've been talking about this for years and years. But I think this time, really, you know, there was this... We're at the beginning of this, you know, where it's starting to become a reality.
I'm glad you brought up self-driving cars, because as somebody who didn't go, you know, I was reading a lot about what was going on, and the car technology was a big thing this year, especially as far as the self-driving cars, Leander. I mean, it seems like there's all these car companies that are on the cusp of releasing A, much better electric cars, and then B, cars that can drive themselves. Did you guys see any cool kind of self-driving car technology while you were there?
Yeah, we saw BMW had like an announcement during the Samsung keynote about their, you know, crazy coupe that does a little bit of self-driving. And then Audi, I think, had a car that drove from San Francisco to the Las Vegas show floor by itself.
All by itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, with the proliferation of electronic cars and cars that drive themselves, I think that in the next 5 years, cars could change more than they have in the last 100. Can you imagine you have a car that's parked in your driveway or in your garage, like the Tesla, the new model Tesla, is going to be able to pull up to your driveway and get you because it's able to drive itself in certain capacities. You get in and you just are on your laptop the entire way to wherever you're going, and it just drives you there. I mean, that's I mean,
we're
not
a long way. And then, we're a long way from that.
I know,
from
are full, we well, though? I don't know if we are.
Not that far. But then, and then when you're not using it, you're going to lease it out to Uber, and it's going to go and pick up other people automatically for them and stuff like that.
Yeah, but man, we are at least, I would say, 50 years from fully autonomous driving.
Well, I don't think
that's true.
You realize the infrastructure that has to have,
there's no infrastructure that has to be built. All these cars use are cameras and algorithms and computers.
Yeah, if the cars could use sonar and cameras and other kind of sensing technology to tell where they are, or if they start putting sensors in the cars that they work to develop together, so they all have like the same kind of sensing technology, so they can adjust based upon how fast or slow the other cars around them are going. Right. Then you have the infrastructure for a totally autonomous driving force.
The BMW car that like has the sensors that makes it impossible to crash, that's awesome, and I can see people like jumping on that. But normal people are not just going to hop in a fully autonomous car. Like, it's going to take decades of people.
It's not
going to
take
behavior decades.
The only thing that's it's already
not
here.
For
the thing that's going to take,
but for my mom.
Well, it's just going to take like 10 to 15 years for other people to buy cars that are, you know, it's not like everybody buys a new car every year.
They just got to put like that.
It just takes time for everybody to cycle, you know, through them.
They got to put one of those Johnny Cab like type automated drivers in the front to make you feel like you have somebody driving. He's like, hello, I'm ready to take you wherever you'd like to go. He has to be super, super chipper. Like in Total Recall, and then people will literally get in that thing and go wherever it wants to take them. They won't care.
Well, people already do this. They already get in airplanes. You know, most commercial flights are largely automated.
That's true, right? They fly themselves for the most part.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and then I think Mercedes, they had like an automated car that it's bigger on the inside so that you can kind of live in it. You know, you just let it take you automated from one place to another automated, and you just sleep in it.
What?
Showing. Yeah,
dude, that's what I want.
Right? It's like a, you know, a VW camper for the really rich people.
You just lay in it, and it takes you where you want to go?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the kind of posh, luxurious item I think I deserve in my life.
Yeah, it's definitely.
Do they sell that yet?
No, it was just like a prototype they were showing off.
By the way, I know everyone probably knows this. There might be some background noise of Leander hopping on and off the call.
He keeps hopping.
We don't know what's going on. He's in a car driving, and so his connection probably isn't the best. So we talked about car technology. I'm glad, Alex, you brought up the BMW that prevented itself from crashing, because that was the same car, the i3, the BMW i3 that I drove last year. That was so much fun to drive. Did you guys actually drive any cars?
I went looking for the BMW line and I couldn't find it, so I gave up.
What? It's in the main. It's like in the main parking lot. You just
right at the front, right? That's where it was last year.
Yes, yes.
It wasn't there this year. They had it in a new spot. I was too lazy to go figure it out. I just bailed.
Any other cool technology trends that you guys kind of cued into this
wearables
year?
I think the stuff that competes like directly with Apple Watch isn't really that interesting. Most of them are just like accelerometers.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a lot of other like wearables, like you know, that you would use in tandem with your Apple Watch, like these smart socks, like gym sensors, all types
smart of smart socks.
Yeah, like for runners. So I don't know if you like if you jog, but like heel striking is bad for you. So you want to like run on the balls of your feet. But I'm really bad at like telling when I'm doing that. So just all kinds of like sensors that are going to go into everything, like a yoga mat that's like can tell you when you're doing the right poses. I think all those periphery devices and stuff are really interesting, and what's going to be like super cool thing about Apple Watch is like the hub for all that.
I feel like CES is kind of having a resurgence of coolness.
Yeah, it like the most interesting stuff was in the Sands Expo area, which isn't even attached to the Las Vegas convention.
Yeah, that's like the rundown building, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's usually all the crap is over there, you know. But this year, and it was there's a lot of like there was a beer pong playing robot over there. But there was also like a lot of cool like startups that are doing like wearables and fitness stuff, and like 3D printing was huge. There was like 100 3D printers. So it was pretty wild. I thought it was more enjoyable than the last 2 years I went.
3D printing is going to be one of those other technologies that I think in the next 5 to 6 years, we're going to see some incredible things start happening. Oh,
I had like 5 PR people pitch me on a 3D printer, man.
I mean, right now they're just kind of only good for, as far as I understand it, for tchotchkes, like maybe like little like figurines, yeah, and stuff that you can do in your house.
Like novelty items, like, oh, you can transform your shower head into a Tyrannosaurus Rex, you know?
Actually sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
Did you get that? Can you forward that email to me? But what if you could, like, for example, you need a part for your car and you just print the part and then you go out and install it.
And like, yeah, that's
the kind
of
technology that's capable.
Yeah. I think at the Detroit Auto Show this week, Ford 3D printed a Shelby Mustang that actually works.
Wait, they printed out the entire car?
Yeah.
What? You mean like the engine and everything?
I didn't read the full article, but it's on cultamac.com if you're interested.
Any other technology trends? Alex, Buster, anything?
We said wearables, TV, HomeKit. There's going to be like lots of stuff for HomeKit in 2015.
Yeah. So did you see anything that was actually worth mentioning as far as HomeKit is concerned?
Well, I'm actually doing a big story on this right now. I've been writing it all day.
Give
but
us the scoop, dude.
Basically, everybody is that I was talking to is the general consensus is that Apple really hasn't gotten its act together yet with HomeKit, but once it's, because like nobody's giving exact release dates for HomeKit compatible products, and it's going to be like in the next couple months, I guess. And Apple hasn't gotten its specifications finalized, so nobody's actually quite sure exactly what HomeKit can do. Like, one of the features that Apple hasn't announced is that you'll be able to use your Apple TV as like a remote hub. So the way HomeKit normally works is like if you have a HomeKit compatible like light bulb, you can, when you're in your house and connected to the Wi-Fi network, you can say, Siri, turn my light on or something, and it'll turn the light on. But when you're away from your Wi-Fi network, it won't do anything. But if you have an Apple TV on and plugged into your Wi-Fi network, you can use Siri to remotely
do
go into your
while you're off your network.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Interesting, like, given the Apple TV and how little's happened on that, you know, product category. So I don't know what they're going to do with that, but
it makes it feel like a big update is coming for Apple TV.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it does.
So there's that. And I don't know. It's weird. Apple only reached out to a few select people to start doing HomeKit stuff early. And I think Apple told them all to do the same thing. So like 4 people put out these little switches that you plug into the outlet that makes the outlet like smart. So there's like all of a sudden 4 brands of the exact same switch. And they were all obviously, they were all told by Apple to do this is the first thing. And so basically it makes anything that connects into it controlled by Siri. So you control it, you plug into your TV into the thing, and then your TV becomes part of your connected network. And all it does is turn it on or off, but you can create scenes with HomeKit where you're like, Siri, I'm home, and your lights turn on, your music turns on, your thermostat, you know, cranks it to whatever, and your TV turns on or something like that.
So
that's like
the
idea.
So I come home and have my Luther Vandross playing?
Right. That's the idea. Right at the spoon. And it's pretty, yeah, it's pretty rudimentary right now. Like, it's not where it should be, but it's, I think 2015 is going to be the year that a ton of smart home stuff starts coming out and like actually starts working together.
Yeah, I was surprised that you guys didn't see more. I thought that was going to be a major, major thing.
No, it was. It definitely was. It was, if not the biggest, like second to third biggest. Like, Samsung's entire keynote that was like the flagship keynote of the event for CES was all about the Internet of Things and the smart home. Mm-hmm. And Samsung's committed to having, I think, 80% of its devices Internet enabled, and that's all
holy
of their devices.
Holy wow.
So they sell like 600 million devices a year by 2017, all of 80% of them, I think. And then in 2 years after that, all of them will be connected.
I hope they make them connected with iOS products and not just, oh, this works with your Samsung Galaxy Gear watch.
Yeah, that's the thing. I've talked to pretty much every platform, and what I gather is that it's going to come down to basically how it is on the smartphone, where it's iOS versus Android. It's going to be kind of like pick your ecosystem to live in. Because even though some of them are saying they're going to work cross-platform, really it's going to be like if you have an iPhone, you want HomeKit stuff. And if you have like an Android phone, you want works with Nest or something like that. Because you're not going to get the Siri integration unless you have an iPhone, which is like one of the key things with HomeKit. So it's going to come down to a platform war, just like on the smartphone market. So yeah, it'll be interesting. The two big players right now, I think, are Nest and Apple.
Let me ask you guys this. So you were there for what, a whole week in Vegas, getting your crunk on. What was the best thing that you guys did while you were there?
Oh, sorry, I was muted.
No. I thought I heard you say, I thought you were just in deep in thought.
Yeah, I was. Maybe Shake Shack, I guess. That could be a
Shack? Is that like a fried chicken restaurant?
Oh, I hated it. It was bad, man. It was like it wasn't good, though. So.
What is Shake Shack?
It's like a popular burger place back east or in New York or something, and they have one in Vegas.
Heard of it.
It was fine.
Yeah, it's like the In-N-Out of the East, but it does not compete with In-N-Out on my burger radar. Other than that, nothing.
Not one single cool, memorable. I feel like we have all sorts of memorable Vegas experiences. Is that the problem? Yeah, is that I wasn't there?
No. Yeah, okay, Buster, the Robert Scoble part.
The Robert Scoble talk, is that what you just said?
Oh, I forgot about the Scoble party. That was kind of funny.
You know the Appio?
Alex, wait, what?
We keep talking over each other.
No, okay. Sorry, I was getting you guys cutting out. What did you say?
You know the Yo app?
The Yo app, yeah.
Okay, so Yo and Robert Scoble threw a party, and just the greatest combination of things.
Yeah.
And here's what they did. They rented the penthouse of the Cosmopolitan, which is like, if you've never been to Vegas, it's one of the nicest hotels in Vegas, 64th floor. They rented it for 4 nights and had like a Roman-style 24-hour-a-day party.
What?
And it was nuts. And we went up, like, I think the first night. And I think at one point they cut the alcohol off for, I don't know why, but we were there when there's alcohol there. And there was like, you walk in and it's just like this wave of like marijuana smell hits you. And Robert Scoble comes out at the bathroom
wearing Google Glass.
No, wearing a like a trucker hat that has the Facebook like symbol on the front of it, and it's flashing on and off.
Oh, like this is like the perfect way to have your first party experience with him.
Yeah, and he's like double fisting champagne, and he's got this Facebook like hat on.
He's just throwing it up.
Yeah, and you go out on the balcony and it's this like incredible view, and then you're just like, what? This is Vegas. This is Vegas in a nutshell.
Dude, how does Yo have any money? That app was free. Right?
And when you go to their booth, it's horrible. It was
their booth?
Yeah.
Dude, it's an app that sends the word Yo to your friends and it costs nothing. How does that company have any money?
I found this out going to the party. They send location and links now, so it's not just Yo.
But and still, actually,
brands are using it. Like CNN is sending stories over Yo.
It's just because they're hoping it'll like catch on with everybody else, you know?
Yeah. Wow. I thought that Yo was dead and gone. I thought that they had their heyday for like 3 weeks.
I thought, once the Hodor app came out.
Yeah, exactly. The Hodor overruled the Yo app. Everyone knows that. Everyone uses Hodor now. And then somebody will create like the Sup apps, like Sup. And that's all you send. And then, I don't know, is there any other greeting I'm forgetting? We can make an app out of that?
No.
Probably. Probably do a Cultcast. Hello app.
Hello? That dude, perfect. $1 million. $1 million right there. Dollars. That's $1 million app idea right there.
We charge $1 and you can change the ringtones. You know.
No, every time you said the word hello, or actually we'll make it audio. It'll be my voice. Hello. It's 25 cents. send. And the first send, we just grab your like your list of contacts from your Facebook friends, and we just send it to all of them and charge you 25 cents per.
Brilliant. And yeah, what Buster said, the Western Digital Party, that was actually pretty fun. That was in Tao, and they must have spent like $1 million on that party. It was like unlimited seafood buffet. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. Vegas seafood, it was actually good. I don't know about that.
No, it was good. It was decent. I had like eight lobster tails.
You know, it was good. That was a good party.
Did everyone get like a free 2 terabyte hard drive with native command queuing?
I don't know. There was a huge line for their gift bag, but I couldn't be bothered with that because they had like free oysters, man.
Free oysters? Dude, yeah. Get out of my way with that hard drive nonsense. I need those oysters. Okay.
Rolling Stone was cool.
All right.
I think Slash was at the Rolling Stone party, yeah. Oh,
wait,
yeah,
Slash with his top hat from Guns N' Roses?
He wasn't wearing his top hat, but he was there to see Tenacious D.
So Slash was there without his top hat? I don't believe you.
Yeah,
he was.
Incognito.
That's how he goes incognito. He just takes his top hat off.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Kanye West was at CES.
Was he?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was there for like an hour, like on the show floor. Someone took a selfie with him and he's just like wearing a gray hoodie with the hood up and no badge, and he's in the corner of the frame just staring into it with that Kanye death stare. And everybody went nuts trying to find him.
That could have been you, Alex.
No, dude. Analyzing the photo. Like, I was analyzing the photo, trying to see where the booth was, and he was gone like the wind, man. Jesus wept.
He didn't come hang out and kick it with the journalists like Will.i.am did last year?
No.
With his jacket on backwards?
Oh, you know who I did see, though, outside the press room was RZA from Wu-Tang Clan. That was pretty cool.
The RZA?
Yeah, the RZA. For
I saw Stevie Wonder.
You saw Stevie Wonder?
Yeah.
Where?
He was doing a panel, and he was like taking selfies with people.
Stevie Wonder was doing a panel.
Yeah.
On what?
On tech. On how tech has changed his life, I think.
Oh, well, actually, that could actually be a cool panel.
Probably.
Yeah. So, like, gear that helps him live his life, maybe.
I guess,
without his sight. I actually heard that he did use some pretty cool technology that, I unfortunately can't recall at the moment, that kind of helps him just kind of navigate his life since he obviously can't see. That would actually be pretty cool.
I didn't listen to the panel. I just saw him taking selfies after.
Dude, I would have loved to take a selfie with Stevie Wonder.
No, man.
I would have done my Stevie Wonder face and looked straight up at the sky. It would have been great. Put my sunglasses on. We could have been like brothers. Okay. Well, any other CES tidbits before we move on to the last story of the day, guys?
Nah.
So long, Vegas. You guys going back next year?
Probably.
I don't know.
I kind of missed it. I missed being there with you guys. Yeah. I think more than anything else, like, I just missed being there with you guys, having some ales, doing bro hugs, and taking pictures of the carpets of CES.
Gadget hunting.
And gadget hunting. Yeah, for sure. All righty. Last story of the day. I thought this was great. Alex, do you want to read the headline?
Gosh. Yes, I do. here we go. Enrage your enemies by sending them an envelope full of glitter.
Brilliant. Brilliant idea, Alex. When I first read this, so shout out to listener Zach Lach on Twitter. I hope I'm saying that appropriately, Zach, with the appropriate amount of Zach Lach. Shot this to me on Twitter, and I thought this was the best thing I've read all week. So apparently there's a company in Australia who will, for a small fee, send your worst enemy a envelope full of glitter so that when they open it, it bursts everywhere. And you guys know how hard it is to get glitter off things. Can you imagine a whole bag of glitter exploding in your beard, Buster?
Oh, it'd be terrible.
I mean, actually, that would be pretty amazing.
It would be amazing.
You'd have a glittery beard for a month afterwards.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But I thought this was the ultimate revenge. If you have somebody in your life that you maybe don't get along with, I mean, I don't. I get along with everyone, but I know there's some people out there, Leander Caney, that have mortal enemies, and this is a great way to say, "Hey, you know what? I love you regardless. Here, have a big bag of glitter." What?
They'll ship it anywhere.
Yeah. So for $10, this company will ship a bag of glitter anywhere in the world. Disguised as an envelope.
Okay, but it's an envelope. But then how does it get... Does it, like, automatically blow up?
No, I think actually it probably just that you rip it open and it just spills everywhere.
Have you ever gotten glitter on yourself though? It's impossible to
get off. It's impossible to get off. Yes, I think that's the whole point.
But then you're like so mad, but then you're kind of happy too. It's like a it's a good prank.
You know what I was thinking would be awesome was we got to design it better. I think this is a good idea, but it needs to be improved upon. So what we need to do is design like those cans that you open and the snake pops out.
Yeah,
it needs to be like one of those. Yeah, except glitter flies everywhere. It has to fly into your face and all around.
It just needs to be an explosion of glitter.
An absolute massive explosion of glitter. That's the way this needs to work.
We can call it Glitter Bomb.
You know what's funny is that was the exact same URL I thought of. Someone took it already, though. Glitter Bomb, Glitterati. I was trying to think of any glitter URL I could think of because I was like, we need to bring this idea to the U.S. We need to start this company in the U.S. Yeah. What?
There's a DJ. They only do this in Australia?
What's that?
They only do this in Australia?
Well, they ship them anywhere, but they're only in Australia. And I'm like, dude, we could do this in the U.S.
Yeah, we cut that middleman out.
Cut out the middleman, exactly. Take that Harry strategy. Cut out the middleman. Send our own glitter, you know?
And boom. Then sponsor ourselves.
And sponsor ourselves. I think us sponsoring ourselves is the best way to do it. It's like, hey, this is sponsored by us, glitterbomb.com, which unfortunately...
I only sponsor myself.
We don't own that URL, unfortunately. Alrighty, guys. Well, it looks like we lost Leander Caney forever. He probably crashed off a ravine and plummeted into the countryside somewhere. So, quick announcement. I totally forgot. On the 25th, which is a Sunday, I'm going to be doing a Google Hangout where you guys could come hang out and ask me anything that you want about podcasting. So we've had a ton of people ask me about the kind of software I use, the way we run the show, the way we produce the show. I'll answer any question you want. This is going to be Sunday the 25th at 1 p.m. Pacific time. I don't know what that is in your own local time zone. Look it up. 1 p.m. Pacific time. Ask me anything you want. I'll answer any question you have. Catch the entire thing at live.thecultcast.com. Join me, won't you? Okay, that's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. But if you want this hangout session to never end, you can always come and join us on Twitter. I'm at Aerofun. Buster's BST3R. Alex is Alex E. Heath. Leander is L. Caney. Every once in a while, he'll shoot out a cool tweet. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys
next time.
That's how we'll do it. You got it down. That was cool. Imagine the guy with a really skinny mustache.
It's dying. I've seen you do this. That's
Dang, I gotta go eat some fried chicken. I'm starving.
Dude, go eat it up. Buster, congratulations.
Oh, thanks, bro.
That's great that you, you're becoming a man.
We're really doing it.
I can't believe you made it this entire time without saying anything.
Well, I've posted something on Instagram before, I think, saying something, I think.
What? No, you definitely haven't.
Yeah, I don't think you have.
Yeah, I totally have.
I didn't get it then. But even your last post, I didn't totally get.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you even kind of alluded to it, and I was like,
Yeah, that happened.
Cool. You're getting married. With Hearts is getting married.
Yeah, he's getting married.
Alex, you got a girlfriend?
Oh, you know, I'm always a few deep.
yeah, you got several.
You meet anybody else? Yes.
Well, Scoble did offer.
You offered to hook up.
Yeah, he was gonna say press my like button, and I was like, I don't know about that.
You want to cover my naked body with glitter? Did he offer that to you?
He did it. That's
an offer that you can't refuse.